Good evening. Please turn to Joshua 23.
Joshua 23. And the two songs we sang really go well with the theme, the truth of this passage. That is always encouraging when you're asked to preach and you're not really sure what to preach. And the Lord gives you some of that encouragement. Joshua chapter 23. Well, from Adam and Eve in the garden until John on the island of Patmos, it's very clear that God's people are always facing difficulties. And those problems and challenges are because of sin and because of living in a sin-cursed world. I don't know what need you may have tonight, but I do know each one of us has needs, physical needs, financial needs, spiritual needs, but God can help us. When we are looking at this passage in John 23, we're looking at a biblical historical record. And that means that we don't look at the historical details and turn them into symbols. These historical narratives are meant to illustrate truths, general principles and truths. 1 Corinthians 10:11 tells us, you don't need to turn there, but I'll read this. It tells us that all these things happen unto them, the Israelites, and we're going to read something about the Israelites. It happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, our instruction. And Joshua 23 does instruct us. And the truth that I believe it instructs us with is that the Lord helps those who cling to Him. And the Lord does oppose those who turn away from Him. But for tonight, we're going to focus on that first truth, that the Lord so graciously helps and blesses and enables and fights for those who cling to Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that You would enlighten us as we look at Your Word and help us not merely to understand, but also to receive it by faith and to be renewed in our mind and transformed and to live out this blessed truth. Thank You that You are so gracious to help us. And we pray that You would help us to cling to You. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We'll start reading in verses 1 to 5, Joshua 23. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. We see that the Lord did great things for Israel, and He promised to do even more. The Lord kept His promise to fight for them and bless them. Look at verse 3. You see that for Israel, the Lord fought for them. At the end, the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you. In verse 4, You see this description of the land that was given to them from these nations. The Lord blessed them with the promised land. He fought for them against the Canaanites, and he gave to them that land. And in verse 5, you see the word shall a few times, so this is future tense, that the Lord, he's not only done these things already, but he will continue. He shall fight for you and give you the rest of this land. So we see this fact that the Lord had kept his promises to fight for them and to bless them. Now, we are not Israel. The New Testament church is different, but we are God's people, and the Lord has not changed. The Lord still fights for his people. The Lord still wants to bless his people. And the Lord still keeps his promises. And he has promised to help us and strengthen us and bless us. We think of some New Testament promises like in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that was true in the past. It's true now. So we can say and we can claim that promise of the Lord when he says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not afraid, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord is righteous, and his hand is powerful to uphold us and strengthen us and to help us. Do any of us need that? We need each day strength, someone to strengthen us. We need to be upheld and helped. We need to not fear. And the Lord is with us. He promises regarding spiritual things that sin shall not have dominion over you. Therefore, we can live out a victorious Christian life. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. So all of those promises, will the Lord keep those? Will the Lord strengthen us? Will he supply our needs? Here inside a church building, it's easy to say yes, but when we face those difficulties and problems, we need to recall to our mind those promises and say, yes, the Lord promised to add all these things I need to me. The Lord did promise to strengthen me. The Lord did promise to help me and uphold me so I do not need to fear. Even though this is a very fearful situation, I do not need to fear. This temptation may seem very strong, but sin shall not have dominion over me. The Lord keeps his promises, and the Lord will continues to fight for us, and he will bless us. One of the great promises is Psalm 18:30-32. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, a shield of protection to all those that trust in him. For who is God but the Lord? Or who is a rock except our God? It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. This is what the Lord does. This is still the Lord's way. The Lord promised to help you and fight for you and bless you. I was reading a biography recently called Evidence Not Seen, the biography of Darlene Debler. She was a missionary in New Guinea when taken as a prisoner of war by the Japanese. And then one day, the Kempeitai, the Japanese secret police, came to her POW camp and took her to really torture her as an American spy. And as part of that, they were slowly starving her. But her obvious faith in Christ and her kindness to others was part of what the Lord used to lead the POW camp commander that she was at previously to send her 92 bananas. And the Lord eventually, after the war, caused her two torturers of the secret police to be hung. The POW camp commander was saved, and she went back later as a missionary to New Guinea. She clung to the Lord, and the Lord fought for her and blessed her. On the day that the Lord rescued David from the hand of all his enemies and Saul, David wrote in Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." The Lord is everything. The Lord is all of these things. All of these things I need. He is our hiding place. He is that rock in whom we can hide. After this foundational truth, we see now the sensible response we ought to have, starting in verse 6. The foundational truth is that the Lord fights for us and helps us, and is the one who can bless us. Therefore, verse 6, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cling unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day." On the basis of the fact that the Lord is our all, our rock, our strength, our stronghold, he's the one who fights for us and keeps us and blesses us, therefore, you've got to cling to him. You've got to follow him. You cannot be unfaithful to him. He is the one that is the solution to your need. He is the one who will help you in every circumstance. So do not turn away from him. Cling to him and follow him in obedience. Make all effort to obey the Lord and cling to him. In verse 6, it says, "Be very courageous," or "do make all this effort and give your heart completely to keep and to do all that is written in God's word." And there is an emphasis there on doing all that is written in the book of the law. And the end of verse 6 is the real emphasis. And this is the real emphasis because verse 7 and 8 continue this idea. The end of verse 6, "that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." So we are to obey the Lord, follow the Lord, and we need to do that without turning aside from him. We need to cling to him. And obviously, this is the encouragement because this is our tendency to turn aside. To turn aside through being distracted. Are there distractions every day? From within us, our flesh, and from outside of us, the world. There are all these distractions to turn aside to. We are tempted as well to turn aside from maybe just a part of God's Word. We're following God's Word, obeying Him, but there's a part of God's will or something in God's Word that part we're tempted to turn aside from. And that's part of the emphasis of verse 6, keep and to do all that is in God's Word. Don't turn aside from part of God's Word. Don't turn aside to distractions. Don't turn away from God. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Verse 7 mentions something else we're tempted to turn aside to, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you. So there is a temptation to turn aside, to come among the world. The idea there is, in principle, is to walk like the world. Walk according to their counsel. Live in their ways. Don't come among the world. Come not among these nations. And verse 7b, do not turn aside to their gods. Do not mention their name. Do not swear by them. Do not serve them. Do not bow yourselves unto them. Do not turn aside to the gods of this world. And what is in the world? The lust of the flesh. We call that pleasure. Lust of the eyes. We could call that possessions. The pride of life. We could call that prestige. And these are some of the chief gods of this world. To live for pleasure, possessions, prestige. Don't bow to those. Don't serve those. Don't worship those. Don't turn aside to those gods. Instead, verse 8, but cling unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. To cling to the Lord. Again, here's the emphasis, because we're tempted to turn aside. Don't do that. And here are all these things we're tempted to turn aside to. But instead of turning aside to all these other degrees of and things, keep fixed, clinging to the Lord. When I thought of this word cling, one of the real main event that came to my mind to describe this was one time I was walking across a footbridge in Dhaka, Bangladesh, and full of people, very, very crowded, but I noticed up ahead as the stream of people, really a river of people were going along, they were parting some up ahead, right in the middle of the bridge. And as I was watching it, I caught a glimpse of why there was a little girl sitting in the middle of the bridge, maybe about 8 years old, and she was sitting in the middle of the bridge begging. And the stream of people just flowed by on either side of her. I was watching her, this maybe my second day in Dhaka, and she looked up and she saw me looking at her. And I did what I guess is a normal reaction. I looked away, and Not sure what to do with her. So I kept on walking and following the flow of people. And as I was walking by, I think because she saw that I had noticed her, she lunged at me and grabbed my left leg and wrapped herself around my left leg. And I couldn't move. I couldn't communicate to her because she spoke Bangla, and I was making these hand gestures and trying to be kind and gentle, but I couldn't move because she was hanging on to me. To me, I guess I was her savior at that moment, at least financially, to get some money out of me. She was clinging until there was one of those Bangladeshi men that was also walking by, saw my predicament, and he kind of grabbed her and pulled her off me and started talking to her. But that gave me a real glimpse of what it means to cling. You're just holding on for dear life and will not let go. And that is what we ought to do with the Lord. Because there are many things that pull at us. It's like, there are times that perhaps we've been I'm not a great swimmer. And I remember being offshore a little bit in the water. And you know how sometimes you think the shoreline's getting progressively deeper, but then there's kind of a drop off suddenly, and I hit one of those drop offs, and I didn't want to get above my head, but there was this rock I could feel, and as the water was pulling me, I just grabbed onto that rock, and I held on until maybe a wave would go down, and I had a chance to. Without the pull of the waves to go back into shore. And that is what we are like in the world around us. All these things trying to pull us away, and we've got to cling to the Lord and make all effort to do that. Look at verse 9. For, again, here's the reason, the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. The Lord is the one who drove out those strong enemies from before you. Think of what the Lord did for you in the past. And in principle, you know, the Lord did give victory in your life in the past. You remember any of those sin habits that you had and how the Lord delivered you from those? And now if you're going to continue and grow and face all the temptations, all the gods of this world, and stay faithful to the Lord and have Him fight for you and bless you, you've got to cling to the Lord. You cannot depart from Him. And the Lord is able to do that. He is able to give you victory again. And verse 10, the Lord, again, He is the one who fights for you. He it is that fighteth for you as He hath promised you. Those impossible needs that you had, the Lord fought for you. The Lord helped you. And so what's the sensible response? Verse 11, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Take great attention to yourself that you love the Lord. Now in verse 6, it had the word therefore as the response, be very courageous to do God's word. Verse 11 really is kind of restating that in a different way. Therefore, take good heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. So is it obey the Lord or love the Lord? Well, that's two sides of the same coin, isn't it? Really. Loving God is the essence of how we are to live, of what our heart ought to be, and obedience is the result of that. And both verses, verse 6 and 11, do command great effort in this. Do you notice that? Verse 6, not only says be courageous, but it says what? Be very courageous. So it not only says keep God's word, but it says be courageous to keep God's word. And not only that, be very courageous to keep God's word. Likewise, verse 11 says, not only love the Lord, but take heed to love the Lord, and in fact, take good heed. Give great attention to love the Lord. And this is how we cling to the Lord, by giving great heed, giving great courage, giving great effort to this, to cling to the Lord. Make all effort to cling to the Lord in love and obey Him. And let me end with this. When Darlene Debler was taken to that Kempetai secret police, kind of Gestapo-ish prison, she had heard all the things that the Kempetai had done. In fact, as she entered that area, she saw one of her missionary ladies who had gone there before, and she could see just a glimpse of her, and she was all black and blue, that friend used to be 170 pounds, and now she was just skin and bones in 2 weeks. They were starving her to death. And then there was another friend that was there, another missionary. She didn't see her, but she heard her. She heard her missionary friend speaking, shrieking insanely and talking to herself. So in 2 weeks, they had basically broken her mentally, and she was gone insane. And then when they brought Darlene to her cell, where she was going to spend weeks and weeks, she looked above the doorway, and written on chalk were the words in another language, but she could read it. The words were, "This person must die." And when she got into that cell, of course, she cried and was crying out to the Lord. But she chose to cling to Him. She sang songs. Only believe, only believe. Fear not, little flock. All things are possible if you only believe. Loved with everlasting love became the song that she tried to go to sleep by. She prayed constantly, "Help me, Lord." She remembered the Lord's goodness in the past. She remembered what other men of God had told her, her husband, before he was taken away to a POW camp and died there. He told her, "Darlene, remember that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us." She remembered what the kind of veteran missionary there said, "Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ." She prayed, "May I never allow anything in my life that, like the touch of soiled fingers, would leave a stain of regret. That was her prayer and resolve there in that death row cell, to honor the Lord. When she was told to clean the blood of mosquitoes off the walls, she did that until she had no more nails left. She scraped it off with her nails until her fingers were bleeding. When the officers came in who was torturing her, she bowed. She meditated on every verse that she had memorized, many from the Psalms, from Isaiah, from the Gospels, the Epistles. She was doing all that she could to cling to the Lord. And as she did that, the Lord fought for her and helped her and blessed her. And one of the psalms that was most often on her lips during those very difficult years was Psalm 27. And I'll end by reading this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp around me, against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The Lord is our rock. He helps those who cling to him. Let's pray. Father, we worship you and praise you that you have never failed us. And we pray that you would help us not to be unfaithful to you, but to cling to you in love and to not be distracted, but give full obedience to all in your word. And thank you that you will help us and deliver us and fight for us in our needs and give us victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.